tafadhul when it comes to patience and when it comes to this beautiful ayah or two ayahs in the Quran. Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Rarely with difficulty comes ease, rarely with difficulty comes ease. Now, I'm just going to take a show of hands. I mean, how many of you feel like the khutbas and the lectures in the last 2 years have revolved around this concept? Have you all heard a lot of khutbas about difficulty? Yeah? Okay. One of the things that I see with this discourse is that a lot of this comes down to whether or not you're going to apply some of these basic concepts from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to how to show sabr. You know, if you think about it, at the end of the day, when you're talking to someone that's going through a hardship, it's a lot easier for you to find the words to give to them than it is for you to actually express them in a heartfelt way when you're in the midst of a difficulty. And that's why, subhanAllah, the blessing of simply saying alhamdulillah, the blessing of simply praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying alhamdulillah, when you are in difficulty, is in and of itself enough to build you a home in paradise. It's not this long prayer that you have to say. It's not something that's elaborate or comprehensive. It is one phrase in the midst of difficulty that at the first strike, in the sadmat al-ula, to say alhamdulillah is enough to have a home built in paradise called the house of praise, alhamdulillah. You don't have to do much more, right? It's not complicated. You don't have to sit there and think about what you remember. And you know, it was really interesting when I think about how simple that is and how beautiful it is. I had a friend of mine who was in a really bad car accident. And this is what I think about when I think of this hadith and the simplicity of it. And in the midst of this car accident, when they got to him, they started asking, they said, what's your phone number? And he couldn't remember his phone number, right? Or a phone number of a family member or a friend, right? When you're in the midst of it, there's a level of shock, right? And he said, the only thing I kept on saying was, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So I forgot my phone number. I forgot my phone number, but I didn't forget alhamdulillah. Because the believer is so accustomed to constant hamd, to constantly saying alhamdulillah, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you hope that when the test comes, that will be your natural first instinct. But in order for it to be your natural first instinct, it has to be your regular habit. The same thing as this dream that we all have, that Allah takes us saying what? What do you want to be saying when you die? La ilaha illallah. See, all of y'all said it. You want death to get to you while you are saying la ilaha illallah. May Allah give us all that ability to say la ilaha illallah at the time of death. May Allah make it our last words on our tongue and in our heart. You're not suddenly going to come up with la ilaha illallah if it wasn't a regular dhikr. You know, if you think about the Prophet ﷺ, when he says, keep your tongue moist, keep your mouth moist with la ilaha illallah. Keep your mouth moist with la ilaha illallah, right? As a form of remembrance. What a blessing from the Prophet ﷺ to teach us something so simple, yet so profound. Because if you are accustomed, if you train your tongue, so while when you are walking from place to place, walking to class, going somewhere else, you're saying la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, constantly moving your tongue with it, then when that moment comes to you of death, whether it is sudden or if it is at the end of a long extended trial, la ilaha illallah will be natural for you because you've made it a habit to constantly say la ilaha illallah. So it's very simple things with huge rewards. To say alhamdulillah at the time of musibah, at the time of tragedy, guarantees you what? A house of praise in paradise. To say la ilaha illallah at the time of death guarantees you entrance into paradise, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies and la ilaha illallah is their last words, dakhil al-jannah, you will enter into paradise. That's why Allah doesn't give it to anybody. It's a special gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to you. What Muslim doesn't know alhamdulillah and la ilaha illallah? We all know it. You could talk to a Muslim that is thoroughly educated and deep in the faith, or you could talk to a very simple Muslim that lives somewhere in the third world in a desert cut off from people. What Muslim doesn't know to say alhamdulillah for good things and alhamdulillah in times of patience and la ilaha illallah at all times? Every Muslim knows that. So Allah is not giving us a difficult equation here. It's whether or not you can bring yourself to actually say it in the moment. Now, I gave a khutbah about this a few weeks ago. Sabr, the short term of sabr, and the sadmat al-ula, the first strike, is to say alhamdulillah. The long-term determination of patience is whether or not you're making progress in your relationship to Allah. The long-term is whether or not you're making progress in your relationship to Allah. So are you succeeding in the short term? Did you say alhamdulillah when it happened? Or did you shout out a bunch of, you know, curse words or say a bunch of things you shouldn't have said? And then when you cooled down, you said alhamdulillah. The long-term of it is measure your patience by your progress. That's the long-term, okay? Now I want to come back to this ayah. Inna ma'al usri yusra. I was thinking about this ayah as much as I could. What's an angle? What's something that we can extract from it that is not already obvious from the ayah itself? That verily, with hardship comes ease, or with difficulty comes ease. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it twice, right? He repeats it. With hardship comes ease. I can't tell you how many times I've been invited to give a khutbah or a lecture at a university, and they said, what's your topic? I said, what's your topic? What's my topic? With hardship comes ease. All right. No offense to Drexel, I'm going to say. You guys could have been a little bit more creative here. But in reality, though, the Quran as a whole offers us an opportunity for infinite reflection. Like, you don't stop reflecting on the Quran. You don't stop extracting gems from the Quran. So there's actually beauty in the fact that these few phrases stick with us, because they become part of the ethos of the Muslims. This becomes who we are. With hardship comes ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. So what does this refer to? The word usr is a very interesting word. All right, difficulty. Usr is a very different word. And of course, in the Arabic language, you have such a rich, you know, spectrum of words to define seemingly a singular concept that each one of them offers you a lot of benefit. And so there's the word mashaqqa, mashaqqa. And mashaqqa, typically the scholars say of language, that it refers to very tangible pain, very tangible pain, okay? Something where there's a wound, or there is a quantifiable loss of something, or difficulty, you know, sweat, blood, all of that. Mashaqqa typically refers to something very tangible, all right? Usr is a state of difficulty. And so it covers more, and it refers perhaps to some of the things that aren't as easily identifiable. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of judgment, yawmun asir, a day of great difficulty for the wicked, for the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wa in ta'asartum. Some of the scholars mentioned in terms of divorce, all right, and going through that and everything that it covers in that regard. So usr, and by the way, this is very interesting, because Allah also talks about people in debt through usr, a person that's in a state of difficulty. And some of the scholars mentioned that one of the benefits of that is that when a person is in debt, it's not just the debt itself, right? Not just the dollar amount that is causing them difficulty, but there's a lot of stress that comes from it that is really deeper than that. And that's why Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge in Allah from debt, and taught us to seek refuge in Allah from debt. Because, like, it's not just a matter of I need to pay this off in a certain amount of time, right? What it brings, what it induces of difficulty is great, right? So usr typically refers to a state of difficulty, and it could be an overwhelming state of difficulty. You know, when especially the hardest moments, sa'at al-usra, by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it in Tabuk, you know, that hour of great difficulty where it just consumes every part of you, right? One of the things about being in that state is that you're not rational. You are not rational, right? And it's actually important to understand that. Like, someone comes to me in the midst of great difficulty and they're asking me to explain something to them. Like, look, in the midst of, you're not going to accept a rational answer. What would be much more helpful is for me to remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to give you words of comfort, but you're not going to clarify deep concepts when you're in the midst of deep trauma. It just doesn't work that way, because usr overwhelms your senses. It overwhelms you in every way. After this talk, I'm sure some of you will come up and ask questions that are very difficult. May Allah help you. I'm not saying that I won't listen to your question, all right? And then I'm not interested in hearing about your pain. I'm just saying that you have to also understand that this is not, you don't have a rational problem, and so a rational answer is not going to solve you know, your sudden crisis in worldview. It's just not going to happen. When you're in the midst of it, it is hard for you to see a way out. It's one of the, that's one of the things about it. You know, subhanAllah, as believers, if you realize how much emphasis there is in the Quran on vision beyond the immediate eyesight, right? The idea of belief in al-ghayb, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْب, those who believe in the unseen. Part of the unseen is qada and qadr, right? The divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same way you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way that you can't see the day of judgment, you can't see the workings of qadr, you can't see the workings of that divine decree. And so it's not the mechanics of the divine decree that's the problem. It's your ability to trust the whole idea, the divine himself in his decree. Not to question the mechanics of it or try to get an understand. It's just not going to work. You have to put your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have to affirm that. That's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said that whoever affirms their faith in divine decree has established their tawheed, their idea of the belief in one God. If you lose that, your tawheed is destroyed. You're going to destroy your belief in God as a whole. It's all going to come falling apart. And so it's not a rational response. It is reaffirming your trust in the one who knows what you don't know. Reaffirming your trust in the one who understands what you don't understand. Reaffirming your trust and acknowledging your limitations to the one who has no limitations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that's actually what usr is. You cannot see past it. And sometimes, maybe while in the moment we won't fully admit it, it is a profound short word of wisdom that sort of wakes us up and helps us keep perspective. You know, it is someone putting their hand on your shoulder, saying, hey, look, you're going to get through this, inshallah, okay? I love you, and I know you, and I know you can do this. It's like, that's not really profound, but maybe it helps. Maybe it's because you trust the sincerity of the person that's saying it. Maybe, and I remember, and I'm not going to veer into psychology here, because I'm sure that there are people here that are actually experts in the field, but, you know, I remember reading a book on counseling, because that's what we had to do. When you're an imam, you got to know how to change light bulbs. You got to know how to counsel people. You got to know how to, like, everything, right? Everything in between, right? So I'm like, in the masjid, okay, now you got to do all these different things. So what did I have to do? I had to read a bunch of books on counseling. And one of the things is, like, when you're talking to someone, sometimes when they're not so certain, they will draw their strength from your certainty as you're talking to them. Right? So maybe they're trying to tell themselves on the inside, like, I'm going to make it through this, but there's a doubt there. But when you're saying, hey, you're going to get through this, I believe in you, I know you, Allah has a plan, and you say it with certainty, they might draw as a recipient from your certainty. That actually might be what affirms them in the moment. Okay? And so that's the value of nasiha. That's the value of advice. It's the value of being with someone, to walk with your brother in their time of need. That's the value of that, because sometimes it's that the certainty in your voice that actually is going to give them the voice that they need on the inside. But when you're in it, you can't see past it. You know, someone's in a really, really bad relationship, messy breakup, you know, thought I was going to marry this person, it's not working out, and I now see it slipping away. Or, you know, maybe even a divorce itself. Like, I can't see happiness after this, because the greatest happiness I think I experienced up until this point was when this was at a high, right? When this was going in a certain direction. And so now it's like you're taking away any notion or any possibility of happiness from me. Now, as a guy on the other side that's seen people recover from bad relationships and seen people recover from divorces that didn't know their, you know, on that side, I can be like, you're going to be okay. Look, inshallah, you're going to be okay. But that person's like, but I can't live without her. I can't live without him. I'm like, yeah, you're going to live. You're going to be okay. Seriously, I've done it enough times to tell you, you're going to be fine, inshallah. Is it going to hurt sometimes? Yeah, but you'll be fine. Allah has created us not just with immense capacity of patience, but also the immense capacity to recover. Recovery is part of the sabr that Allah put inside of us, the possibility of recovery Allah put inside of us. It's actually remarkable. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's given us that possibility to recover. Not to where we don't hurt when we remember certain things, not to where sometimes there isn't long trauma from certain things, but we do have the ability inside of us as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to actually move on. But when you're in the midst of it, you don't really think that way, right? You know what's so beautiful about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, right? He was a walking Qur'an. His character was the Qur'an. If إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى is not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, in Hijrah, being caught by Suraqah ibn Malik as a fugitive, right? About to be killed, possibly, on the run from his people to a people that he doesn't yet know really well, as a refugee to them. And him telling Suraqah, by the way, how will it be, O Suraqah, when you are carrying the gold bracelets of Kisra, the most powerful ruler in the world, in your hands? If that's not inna ma'al usri yusra, I don't know what is. That's literally, and the Prophet ﷺ is the one who's in the deepest usra in this moment. He almost just died. How do you, I mean, subhanAllah, like we talk about now the effects of remembering things and the effects of trauma afterwards. He and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu were in the cave. And they were right there. These people that wanted to do horrible things to them were right there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, tells him, how is it, O Abu Bakr, with two people, and the third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one affirming Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he's telling Suraqah, how will it be when you are carrying the bracelets of the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful ruler in the world? That is prophetic vision beyond the moment. Khandaq, that is the greatest hardship that you experience as a people. You're fighting for your existence as a community against the people that want to wipe you off the face of the earth. And in the darkest times, in the ditch, you see the light of Islam spread throughout the world. Inna ma'al usri yusra. It's going to come out of this. Something is going to come out of this. So when you're in usr, you're overwhelmed. Your senses are gone. You're overwhelmed by the difficulty. And when was this surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, by the way? Was it revealed to the Prophet ﷺ as a victory lap? Was this after Badr that this was revealed? When is this revealed to the Prophet ﷺ? When there is no usr in sight. That's when it's revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. Right? This is revealed in Mecca when there is no rational pathway out of this. You couldn't sit with the Prophet ﷺ in those moments, if we were limited to the rational, and say to the Prophet ﷺ or say to other companions, you know, look, here's how this is going to go. We have a plan. All right? Abyssinia is going to open up for us. The ruler of Abyssinia, the one ruler that will take us in, will thwart a rebellion, and he'll provide some ships just in case to eventually get to Medina. And this other place is going to open its doors to us, and you're going to have a people that love us more than they love themselves, that will jeopardize all of their alliances to establish a civilization in accordance with this message, that we have wealth coming from this direction, or we have help coming from this external empire. There is no rational pathway in the moment that this is revealed to the Prophet ﷺ and the companions. The Quran was not just for the Prophet ﷺ, right? There's nothing, you can't rationalize a pathway out. Look what Allah Azza wa Jalla did. Now imagine being a companion who was there when this was revealed in Mecca. And then 20 years later, you're doing Hajjatul Wada' from Medina with over 100,000 companions from Medina to Mecca. And everything between the two revolves around this message that a handful of followers were about to be wiped out with. Imagine what it was like for Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to read this ayah, having lived through that history. Again, in the midst of it, it's hard to see. But they did not place their trust in the ability to see the rational pathway out. They placed their trust in the one who sees what they don't see. That was the point. What does Allah Azza wa Jalla say at the end of this? I haven't started to break down some of the concepts yet. But what does Allah say at the end of this? فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِذَا رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Now get back to worship. Focus on your worship. Keep paying attention. Next, move on to the next cause of worship. Move on to the next course of action, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's not going to be limited by these things. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Puts him back on track. Stay focused. That's the call to action at the end of this. Stay focused, stay engaged in worship. Not look for the next sign. Stay engaged in worship. It will come to you. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Verily, with every difficulty comes ease. Verily, with every difficulty comes ease. Now, scholars mention a few things here. Some of the scholars said the repetition here is a form of ta'kid. It's a form of just reaffirming, comforting the Prophet ﷺ. Verily, to say it twice, right? Some of the scholars also mention, if you pay attention, al-usr, innama al-usr, one usr, verily with every single difficulty comes ease. It's not al-usr, it's in the plural, ease. It's a weak hadith, but it is something that the Sahaba can be traced to the companions and some of the Salaf. That la yaglibu usrun, that one usr, la yaglibu usrun yusrain. One hardship will not overcome two forms of ease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ease twice, but only mentions one difficulty. The beauty of that the ulama mention, and there's so much to talk about here, is that with every single difficulty comes multiple forms of ease. Similar to when Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever is mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa typically comes when sin is presented to you and you restrict yourself, you restrain yourself from that sin. You might think that you're missing out, right? You're missing out because you restrain yourself from that sin. So the ladha, the pleasure of that sin, you're foregoing it. Therefore, inducing hardship for yourself, right? وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Not only is Allah going to make a way out for you, يَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah is going to provide for you from ways that you don't even understand, ways that you didn't even plan. Things will come to you from directions and in packages that you could have never planned for yourself. وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. So the scholar said, when it comes to the test, the blessings that are unlocked after the test in this life and the next are multiple. You know, if you're actually taking an exam, most of you being students, I presume, you can understand this when you're actually taking the test, right? To get this particular degree, what the degree will unlock for you in terms of career and in terms of potential and profession, right, are multiple doors. Whereas the test is limited to a time, a moment, you have to pass this particular test. And so when trials come to us in this life, look, you've got to get through this moment. But what will come after it is multiple. Multiple in what sense? Multiple in that the blessing might come to you in this life and or the next, but certainly in the next if you are patient. You'll certainly be rewarded for your trial in the next, no matter what, so long as you are patient. And you also may see some of that ease come in this life as well. Now, as we said, there is yusr in the plural, ease is in the plural, usr is in the singular, right? I want you to remember that next time you're reading this, okay? As great as your usr is, the yusr will always be greater. Notice here, Allah did not minimize your hardship. Allah doesn't say you're not really in pain. It's not a big deal. Get up, walk it off. Allah does not minimize the hardship. He simply maximizes the reward. There's a big difference between those two. Remember I said the person, good counselor is someone that gives you that strong advice, affirms you, speaks with certainty, belief in you, right? A bad one's like, walk it off, what's your problem? Other people go through this all the time. Don't you hate that when you're going through something bad? Like, other people go through this all the time. You know, I went through this 2-3 times. I didn't cry like you. That's how I got fired from my message. No, that's not what happened. Not what happened, all right? But like, you don't tell someone, walk it off, right? Not a big deal. Stop being a crybaby. Because you're then minimizing the pain. You don't minimize the pain. You maximize the reward, right? So Allah in comforting does not say to the Prophet ﷺ, ta'if doesn't really hurt that bad, does it? Right? This persecution in Mecca is not that bad. But Allah turns the Prophet ﷺ's focus and the believers by extension To the reward, okay? The difference between the two in the Prophet ﷺ now is the one that's consoling when Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to the Prophet ﷺ. And I think of the scene and it's a hard one, honestly. Khabbab struggled, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest sahaba. Honestly, you read about Khabbab radiallahu anhu, you fall in love with this man. What he went through, what he struggled with, incredible human being. And Khabbab radiallahu anhu sees the Prophet sitting with his back against the Kaaba and his legs extended. Meaning, you know, sometimes, you know, when Allah says that you might think someone is from the Aghniya, they're okay because of their ta'affuf, because of the way that they're carrying themselves, you might make the wrong assumption about the amount of suffering or the amount of pain they're going through, right? Person might be going through a lot, but something is keeping them going in a certain way. And so to the outside, you don't really understand the full extent to what that struggle is. So Khabbab sees the Prophet reclined against the Kaaba. And he says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana, ala tastansir lana, aren't you going to make dua for us? Aren't you going to seek victory for us? Let me ask you all a question. Don't you think the Prophet was doing that? A lot. I mean, in Badr, the whole night before the Battle of Badr, the Prophet didn't sleep to get refreshed for the fight. He spent the whole night making dua for the Muslims. For what? Victory. Prophet could have told Khabbab, hey, you don't understand, I'm doing that. He didn't do that. He told Khabbab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that people that came before you were sawed in half for la ilaha illallah, for this belief. Allah is going to give us victory. We're going through this together. It's going, the yusr is going to come. Focus on that. It's going to come. So here, innama al-usri yusra, focusing on the yusra, focusing on the reward. The greater the difficulty, the greater the reward. Think about this for a moment. For some, there will be no yusr except in the hereafter. And as a believer, you accept that. I'm telling you, one of our greatest problems is that we demand justice be imminent. We demand the answer be imminent. We demand ease be imminent. We want to see it now, 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 now. It's natural to want to see things happen, but now or else. I'm going to stop making dua. I'm going to stop believing. I'm going to have a crisis. No, as a believer, that's not even a question for me. Because the one who can answer in 1 second can answer in a million years as he sees fit. Why would I take my limited understanding and try to impose it on him? I'm good. I'm going to work for justice. I'm going to work for my prayers to be answered. But I'm not going to impose my understanding on al-alim, al-hakim. Doesn't make sense. The all-knowing, the all-wise. Why would I try to impose my understanding on him? In the hereafter, yusr is yu'ta bi ashadd an-nasi 'adaban. Allah brings forth a person who lived the worst possible life that you can imagine. The worst life. I want you to put in your mind right now a person who you know that struggled more than anyone else that you've known. Think about that person, right? The person amongst the believing men and women who had the worst life. يُغْمَسُ فِي النَّعِيمِ غَمْسًا. One dip in Jannah. One dip. Just this. That's yusr. So the whole usr of this world and the worst usr of this world with one dip in yusr, in a na'im, the blessing of Jannah. One dip. Then he's pulled out. He just got in and out. هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَطْ. Have you ever seen any hardship? Have you ever seen sadness? What's hardship? What's sadness? He doesn't even know what usr is anymore. I've never seen any sadness. I don't know what's being spoken about here. No. Put me back in there, right? I've never seen sadness in my existence. The one dip in yusr was greater than the entire existence of usr in this world. That's in the most extreme case. Allah did not, however, limit it. Just like when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase you. Not just in Jannah, not just in faith, not just in perspective, not just in the thing that you are grateful with and for. In the expanded sense, don't limit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's definition. La azidannakum, I will increase you. فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With hardship comes ease. With every difficulty comes ease. With every difficulty comes ease. And I'll say one more thing here. You know, when it comes to dua, when it comes to supplication, the Sahaba did not used to focus on the answer to the dua. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I don't concern myself with the answer to the dua. I simply concern myself with the ability to make the dua, because Allah would not let me make the dua unless He was going to answer. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I'm not afraid of being deprived from the ijaba. I'm not afraid of being deprived from the answer. I'm afraid of being deprived from the ability to ask. That's what concerns me. Mata atlaq Allahu lisanaka bitalab fa'lam annahu yuridu an yu'tiyak. Ibn Ata'illah said, when Allah lets you move your lips, it's because He wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. So if Allah let your tongue move, He's going to give you something, right? I want you to think about this very, very carefully. The reward of being able to make the dua itself. The reward of being able to make the dua itself. Some of the scholars mentioned, innama al-usri yusra, innama al-usri yusra. They said the yusr of Allah actually giving you patience. Patience is actually a blessing from Allah to thank Him for. It's actually a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ability to have patience. You meet people. I just came back from Bosnia. The way that, I mean, just the resilience that you see in someone. I posted about this one woman, subhanAllah, a widow of Srebrenica, lost all that she did, and she has this contentment, this rila in her face. Incredible, to where she advocates for the widows of Srebrenica, sees someone that's working her life towards it, and she's so just tranquil. I'm not minimizing her pain. I'm sure she has nights where she can't sleep. I'm sure she has nightmares. I'm sure that she has memories. I'm sure she has trauma. But the way that woman says, Alhamdulillah, sitting in the place, sitting in Srebrenica, by the way, where it all happens, the way she says, Alhamdulillah, and drinks her cup of tea, I'm like, if that's not a miracle from Allah, I don't know what is. That's an ayah. That's a miracle. What I'm witnessing right now is a miraculous human being. This is a miracle. It's a lesson for me, right? And you think about what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, "Inna fi sabri ala ma takrahu khayran kathira." That in patience with that which you dislike is all types of good. All types of good. And in another narration, he says, وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً هُوَ خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَعُ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. No one is given any blessing that is better and more expansive than patience. That covers more. If you develop resilience, if you develop patience, what that does for you, the character, the faith, the ability to persevere, which, by the way, has benefits in your world, your worldly matters, as well as your matters in the hereafter. What that does for you is absolutely incredible. That's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in and of itself. So Allah does not just give you the reward of patience that you should thank Him for. Allah gives you the blessing of patience itself, which you should thank Him for. It's just like, alhamdulillah, if you died with your last words being alhamdulillah, and all you were saying alhamdulillah for was the ability to say alhamdulillah, you'll still die in debt. Because you're one alhamdulillah short. Alhamdulillah for being able to say alhamdulillah. Sabr, you thank Allah for the patience itself, not just the reward of patience that you seek. So there is no greater blessing that's given to a person than patience. وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً هُوَ خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَعٌ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. And then, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah rewards the patience without measure. The reward for patience on the Day of Judgment is greater than the reward of anything else that you've done. So both the blessing that Allah gives you, as well as the reward He gives you for that blessing, are forms of yusra, are forms of ease that we should thank Him for. Innama al-usri yusra, innama al-usri yusra. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be patient and the full reward of our patience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of this life and the next. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as one of the salaf did, Allahumma in kunta balaghta ahadan min ibadika. Oh Allah, if you have delivered one of your servants, darajatan bi bala'in, a station with you through trial, faballighniha bil afiyah. Allow me to reach that same station with afiyah, while being spared. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-afwa wal-afya fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afya fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afya fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afya. the dunya wal akhirah. Oh Allah, we ask you for forgiveness and for safety in this life and in the next. Allahumma ameen.